G'day and welcome to Hell.
My name's Luke and I'm here with my co-host Gunnar after quite a long hiatus to discuss all things St. Pauli, and we have plenty to talk about, eh, Gunnar?
Yes, very much so. How you doing, Luke? Everything okay?
Yeah, good, man. Good. What have you been doing with your time off?
Yeah, I was going to say it. We did take a bit of a break, so I moved apartment. I think you've been away on holiday, right? So,
yeah.
And we were chatting the other day, and it's just so easy, you know, sometimes not to do the podcast, and then you don't do it for a few weeks, and then it gets even harder to do it, you know, like it just goes down on the list of priorities. But we really want to do it, so we're hopefully back now on a regular basis, hey?
Yeah, it was kind of just bad timing as well. You were sick for a couple of weeks before I went on holiday, and then I was gone for 3 weeks, and then I was absolutely swamped with work when I got back last week. Also, we were kind of got out after the cup defeat. That might have had an impact as well.
It was Düsseldorf, the last one. Yeah, exactly. It did take a lot of out of us, and yeah, I needed a few weeks then also to come back from that. I think. I mean, the game after that was a win against Fürth, but still, you know, we're winning most weeks. But yeah, I don't know. It's like I don't even know how you would say that in English, but the air was out a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
But I think, like I said, we're back now.
Definitely back, yeah. 7 matches to talk about. So this is going to be a quick 3 to 4 hour podcast. do you want to take us through those 7 matches? How have we been doing?
Yeah, so out of these 7 matches, we have 15 out of 21 points. The 2 losses there came on the road to Braunschweig and Schalke more recently. I think the Braunschweig game was
against Braunschweig. It was Magdeburg that we...
Oh, sorry, it was a Magdeburg one. Yeah, exactly. We lost that 1-0. So I think that was a bit unlucky, whereas the Schalke game, a lot of things just didn't work for us, you know. But we have since then recovered. We had that 4-3 away win against Kiel. That was a fantastic win I wish we could have talked about, but if you look at these games in like blocks, you know, like I say, 4-3 against Kiel on the road, and then the loss against Schalke, conceded 6 goals in these 2, and then I think the Schalke game was proper like a wake-up call, you know. And then in the following 2 matches against Hertha Berlin and Nuremberg, 2 clean sheets, 2 goals scored for us. And I have to say, I was in the stadium for the home game, the Berlin game, and it just felt so comfortable. And then watching the Nuremberg match at the weekend, I felt the exact same like I did feel at the Willen Tor for the Berlin game. You know, it was, I don't want to call it boring, but it was almost that, because it was such a dominant performance from us in these last 2 games. And you know, that's how you play when you want to go up.
Yeah, especially in the running towards the end of the season, that's exactly what you want. Comfortable wins, clean sheets, you know, early goals help as well, settle the crowd down a bit. Yeah, very straightforward, but I'll take that all day long. So in terms of the league, where does that leave us? Still at the top, obviously, where we belong.
Obviously.
Best team in the league, clearly, playing the best football. 5 points off Kiel in second, which was definitely helped by the win over them. Then we have HSV in third, and we're 10 points off HSV, who might be having their annual meltdown. It looks like a few bad results prompted them to sack Tim Walder. Good riddance to him. And they got a new fellow in who you're chummy with, or you went to school with. How do you know?
Yeah, they got someone in, Merlin Polzin, for 1 game. We went to school together, and then he's always been in football since we finished school. I think he did some of the under 17s, 19s teams at HSV, then went to Osnabrück, did the same there, and became Daniel Tehun's assistant manager, who then took him to HSV. and he's been there ever since. But he was only in charge for one game. That was the Hansa Rostock game. And they have since appointed Steffen Baumgart. Who did he get his first win as HSV manager there on the weekend? Did they lose
He was also very complimentary about St. Pauli in a recent interview, talking about how great we are and how we just, I don't know, it might be mind games, you know, put all the pressure on us for the...
It is leading up, you know, to the derby as well. And like you say, put the pressure on us a little bit. I find a lot of the opposition managers in their post-matches, they're very complimentary of us. And even before the matches, you know, but like you say, that might just be to put the pressure on. But on the flip side, we are playing really good football. And I think Fabian is a very good manager also. And because we haven't spoke about that as well, Fabian Hürzeler, he signed a new contract with Sampdoria.
Yeah, that's a relief, really, isn't it? Because I think his previous contract was up in the summer, so
yeah,
would have been all up in the air, and you don't really want that hanging over the team either. It might distract from the promotion push. There's got to be some sort of promotion clause in there, though, because I can't imagine he'll hang around if something disastrous happens and we don't get promoted. He'll be hot property.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know. Like the press said, it was hanging on him wanting a clause in his contract that he like could get out. But I think then from what I heard, they agreed not to have this clause. I think even if we did stay down, but I mean, we don't really know. I mean, none of us 100% know. I think it's like you say, it was kind of, maybe it was distracting a little bit. And then obviously you lose against Schalke, where the performance was really lackluster, I thought. Then you're always going to get these questions. Is it because the manager, you don't know what's happening with him, etc. But since that been in the back, you know, I think it's a welcome thing for the club and the players and the manager not having to ask those questions anymore around it, you know, and they can just focus on their football. And
it's only a 1 year extension, I believe, right?
I don't know. These contract details, we don't really ever find out about them, do we?
It's just, I'm wondering if, even if we do go up, if then a big club comes in, like Xavi Alonso might be leaving Leverkusen. Was it Wolfsburg or someone was linked with him as well? Like, I don't know, if he's very ambitious, he might still want to move on. But you can also see how he would, after he's worked so hard to build this team and get them playing a certain way, I'm sure he'd want to see how he can get on with this group of players in the Bundesliga. But we're definitely getting ahead of ourselves here. we're not promoted yet. Still plenty of football to play. As we said, the last two games did look comfortable, but I'm sure we'll have nervy matches in the running. Paderborn up next, which is never easy. They're sitting in sixth place, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just Hannover and Dusseldorf ahead of them. Dusseldorf are looking a bit scary as well. I always expect one of these teams who are outside of the top three to make a late push and either sneak into the top two or at the very least grab the playoff place. I think you've got to say that Dusseldorf, Hanover and Paderborn are all in the mix for that. So we're going to have a really tough test coming up. But yeah, judging by our form, still confident.
100%. It's those three, like you say, Düsseldorf, Hanover, Paderborn. But then if you look at the table, Karlsruhe and Fürth, they're also only just a point behind Paderborn. You know, they would probably argue they could somewhat throw their hat in the ring there as well. And our running, it's not the easiest. I know that like there's a derby coming up against Hansa, and then we're playing the actual derby against HSV still, who would like to shit on our party, I'm sure. But I kind of hope that by the time we play HSV, then we would have it wrapped up. No, it's 8 games to go, 24 points on offer still. We're 10 ahead of third. So it is, everything is pointing in the right direction. And I think I saw in the, or heard on a commentary in the Nuremberg match before the match, we were on 51 points. Obviously, it's 54 now because we won, but 51 points on match day, 25. The 17 times, the 17 teams who had that many points on match day 25 have all got promoted in the past. So
that's a great start.
I am a pessimist myself, same as you probably when it comes to São Paulo, but everything is pointing in the right direction, and slowly but surely, I'm trying to get into the positive state of it might actually be happening, you know.
Yeah, and we've been tested recently with some missing some key players and came through with flying colors. Like Eric Smith was injured the past couple of matches, but Svegala came in and deputized really well. Sally Akas was out for the last match against Nuremberg. Was that a suspension or injury?
That was a suspension for the for the fifth yellow, I think.
And Dapo has been out injured as well the past couple of matches, but we got Connor Metcalf back from the Asia Cup along with Jackson Irvine. And I thought that we would miss the two of them a lot while they were gone. I guess you could say we did in the cup, but apart from that, like even though we have lost for the first time, well, twice in the last seven games while we were away, it hasn't really affected, you know, our prospects of getting promoted because the teams around us have been dropping points as well. Mm-hmm. Was it, I think in the weekend we lost 3-1 away to Schalke. Like no other team in the top 10 won their game that game week.
Yeah.
So it's all seems to be working out really. Even whenever we are dropping points, teams around us are dropping points. So it doesn't feel like the teams below us are making ground.
No, that is very true. That's a very good point, actually, because like normally you lose a game and then other teams around you capitalize on it. But it's really that weekend. We came out of that weekend was like, okay, maybe we got our lesson there a little bit from that Schalke game, just to know, okay, we still need to have all hands on deck and focus on the running. So, but then if the other teams around you don't capitalize, it makes it not so bad. Then you know, in the context of that match day, I suppose.
Yeah. I wanted to mention Kemline because we didn't really get to speak too much about him. He's played quite a bit while we've been away. Probably unfortunate to lose his place, but Jackson Irvine's back and he's captain, so of course he's back in the team. But he's still young, so I'm sure he's okay to just make an impact off of the bench. But what an impact straight away for a young player to come in and straight into the first team and didn't look out of place at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought the games that he started for us while Jackson was away and Connor, I thought he was really good. Unlucky not to score in two or three matches even. And I think it must have always been obvious that, like you say, as soon as Jacko was back, that Kemline would probably lose his spot. Potentially, there could have been one or two more games for Kemline if Australia had actually made it to the final. But yeah, like you say, even now coming off the bench, he's a fantastic option for us. I think he comes on for one of the wingers sometimes. And I really like him. I think he's only on loan, right? So he will probably go back to Union Berlin at the end of the season.
Possibly, yeah. But there might be a bit of money to spend there if we do. / when we do get promoted. It's also good that we don't have to spend every podcast talking about the striker situation and who should be playing up top, because Eggestein, he scored against Nuremberg, but he had a bit of a barren goal scoring run before that. But even without the goals, he's still contributing. You know, he's a bit like Firmino at Liverpool. He does all the dirty work and creates chances for the wingers and just works tirelessly for the team. So I don't think there's any doubt that he's the main man up top now.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was his first goal since match day 12. So it's been a long time coming. But I think you could see in this, in the one or two games that Hartl played in this like false nine, it almost restricted Hartl's creativity a little bit. And that makes you appreciate Eggestein just that bit more, you know, because you might not see him all the time, but he does play a layoff to one of the wingers, for example. And he always looked dangerous, I thought, unlucky in some of the matches not to score. And he works so hard for the team. And I can appreciate that a lot. You know, I like you say, a bit like the Firmino at Liverpool. So unselfish as well in his play. He looked really good in this Nuremberg game. He got an assist and a goal, got the assist for Hartl for the 2-0. Very good game from him, I thought.
Yeah, if anything, he's possibly a little bit too unselfish. You know, sometimes you're just begging for him to have a pop, but... yeah, it worked out well at the weekend there.
I think if he hadn't scored the 1-0 in the Nuremberg match, maybe he might have took a shot when he scored it to Hartl, but just to get the ball through the defender, and then obviously just once you get it past the defender and then Hartl is free in the middle, fantastic pass, and just the vision to see that as well from Eggy, very good.
And we haven't really struggled to create chances in the last two matches, despite missing Eric Smith, because we... anytime he's out, which, because he has this recurring injury, it does happen every once in a while. We always seem to talk about how we find it difficult to, you know, start our attacks from the back without an Eric Smith in there. But it's been, we've been really dominating teams all over the pitch, you know, keeping them out and being able to create chances fairly decently. Like the past two matches, both 2-0, but could have easily been more.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, in this last match, the Nuremberg match, they had two shots all game, Nuremberg did. And I think Hauke Vahl is doing really well through the middle when he plays in Smith's position. And also, because it is a reoccurring injury to Eric, I think the management team must be working, not like plan B, but, you know, they know they can't always rely on Eric to be fit, maybe. So... they have this option. They have worked on this option with Hauke through the middle. And I think you saw him a few times, even just playing six by himself or like having someone behind next to him. And then sometimes he was dropping more into the back three again. And I think he does that really well. And like you say, we used to sit here and be like, ah, Eric's missing. And like, how are we going to build up from the back? But these last two games looked really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Credit to Hauke Vahl, because before when Smith was out, it seemed to be that they went more to like a flat back three, and Vahl, who took that position in the middle of the three, wouldn't sort of take on the responsibilities that Eric Smith had there by moving into midfield and becoming a bit of a playmaker. But recently he has been doing that more, and he's great at it. You know, he is so good on the ball. You might not think it just because he's so fucking big, but yeah, he's been doing it really well. And Philip Troy coming in to form a partnership in the middle there. Whenever Jackson Irvine and Cello move a bit further forward to get involved in the attack, he is just a machine, Troy. Absolutely love him.
I think he's really good. I thought he was not play the game against Nuremberg because I think he was out with an illness. Apparently there's some bug going around the team at the minute. But I think maybe just with the international break coming up, there was a few players that just kind of pushed through it, you know, knowing they'll be off for a week and a half now. Although we do have quite a lot of players going away on international duty. But yeah, I think Metz surprisingly played for us against Nuremberg. Troy, I wasn't sure we were going to see him. I thought Ritzke deputized well then on the left-hand side because Troy played through the right. And he got the assist also for Eggy's goal. Yeah, but like you say, he's an absolute machine. I really rate him. Either side, left, right, doesn't really matter. He's really good.
Just going back to the internationals, we've got so many international players now. That two seasons ago, it was... or at the start of last season, it was just Jackson pretty much who was getting called up for international duty. Now we have Metcalf, Saad, Metz, I think, is getting Vasil as well.
Yep.
I think Saliakas. That's good as well. Saliakas, yeah. And it's, I think that just goes to show the progress that we've made, that, and people are taking notice, you know.
Absolutely. And I read that Eric Smith was supposed to be called up to the national team for Sweden, but I think his injury is better, but then he caught that illness that's going around the squad, so he had to pull out of that. But if he keeps playing the way he is playing, and he's still young enough, I think, to make an impact in that team, that call-up will come eventually.
Yeah, exactly. So how many league matches do we have left here? Eight in total?
Eight games to go, yeah.
Got a very important doubleheader with Rostock coming to a Millantor. And then we're at the shit pit in Stellingen against Hasval. I think that could be it. That could decide whether or not we get promoted. I don't know. At what stage do we start thinking and forgetting about promotion and start thinking about just winning the league? You know, it would be nice to have a bit of silverware as well.
See, I'm a realist. You know, I go by the points on the board, and if the math checks out, then I start believing. You know, like, get promotion in the bag first, and then like, if you ask me before the season, like, do I want to be first or just get promoted? Absolutely, just get promoted. You know, so I know there's a certain degree of expectation now, maybe, but let's do the one thing first, and then we'll take it from there. You know, but like I say, it's, what is it, 24 points to go. We're 10 ahead of third. A couple more wins, you know, Hasval fucking up maybe again, then, you don't know, maybe Düsseldorf losing another one, and then, yeah, it could be looking really good. We could maybe wrap up the title even against Hasval. How good would that be?
Oh, stop it, man. That'd be so good. But yeah, there's lots of difficult games in between, like, because they're, everybody seems to be playing for something, you know, either a team who's going to try and make a late push for that playoff spot, or they're fighting off relegation. So there's no room for complacency at all. But I don't expect that from this team. There's so many leaders in that group. Everyone's bought into the system. Everybody knows how good a coach Fabi is. Just look at what we've done this season. So it's hard to see where it's going to go wrong, but it's St. Pauli, it's by the Bundesliga, so you never know. Literally anything could happen. But we're in such a strong position.
It's funny. I'm sure when we come on in a few weeks, then we'll be not more confident, but like the way we talk about it will sound a bit different. But it's like I said, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I've supported St. Pauli for too long. It'd be very good if they could wrap this up as soon as possible. You know, 13 years since the last promotion, and it is looking very likely that this one might be the next. And with a fantastic squad, like you say, so many leaders. I know Jackson's the captain, Hartl his vice, but then you have someone like Hauke Vahl, for example, in that back line, who's captain at Kiel. He played 300 Bundesliga or second division and third division games in totals. Like, there's so much experience in that, and like you said before, with all the internationals, I think that's so good. Like, all these players going away to their national teams and getting experience there. I remember when Saliakas come on for his first cap, I think they played against France and he was up against Mbappe and stuff, so that can only be good. That can only improve you as a player, you know. Yeah, and then maybe one mention also. I know he only got like 60 seconds or something, but Eric Da Silva Moreira, our under-17s World Cup winner with Germany, has made his first professional appearance for St. Pauli now.
That's great, yeah. Always love to see some young player coming up through the academy. And he's obviously got good pedigree if he's playing for the under-17s at national level and winning the World Cup. From what I've heard as well, he's a very good player, still a bit raw, obviously, but I think he'll have a part to play in our run-in, and hopefully even more so next season.
Absolutely. And he's a fullback. And I remember at the start of the season, we were saying maybe even after we signed Troy, do we need another fullback, maybe just as cover? And I think it makes a lot of sense then to have someone, if the three that we have, Ritzka, Troy and Saliakas, if they obviously share the fullback positions, and then, you know, you have someone young coming through who you can give a few minutes here and there. I think that's very smart.
Right. So Paderborn next is at the Millen Tour. I'll be at the stadium for the first time in what feels like any
age. I was
going
to say, I've seen you, but I've not seen you at the match for a while. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, it's going to be class. So it's a 1:30 kickoff on the 31st. We're in the midst of an international break right now. So looking forward to that. Do you have a score prediction for me?
2-0 again.
2-0? Yeah. Nice. I'll go 3-1. Just to keep things interesting.
Perfect. That's totally fair.
So we've only got a few minutes left here. But yeah, I know we promised an episode about what's been going on with the international fan clubs, but unfortunately, Glasgow St. Pauli, who we were talking to, they've dissolved. So our options are a bit thin on the ground now because there's not really that many international fan clubs left. Yeah, if anything new comes up, we'll discuss it. I don't know. I don't know if I should be expecting a change in opinion amongst the fans. It seems like on the issue of Palestine that the general consensus in Germany might even be starting to shift slightly. I'm starting to see at least some hints of criticism for what's going on there, but I wouldn't really hold my breath. There's been more sort of like pro-Palestine graffiti popping up around Hamburg, I've noticed recently.
I noticed that too, yeah.
There's a St. Pauli Palestine social media page that's popped up. Fair play to whoever's doing that. But yeah, as I said, I wouldn't hold my breath. It's Germany. They're fucking weird. Yeah, if you've been paying attention, you'll understand that they have a weird relationship with what's going on there. And anybody who dares to criticize Israel gets called an anti-Semite, so you have to tread very carefully. If anybody from an international fan club is listening and would like to come on and talk about their experience and, you know, how it's being handled both internally at the fan club and their interactions with the club and other fan groups, then we'd love to chat to you and just reach out. All right, Connor. Pleasure as always. Nice chatting to you. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you, Luke. We are running out of time, but I just want to say I met the St. Pauli London fan club. Was it last week or the week before that? I did the stadium tour and the museum with them. It was very nice meeting them all. Dapo came down and said hello to everyone. That was also very good. At the end of May, or start of May, is the Wine Fest against racism in the Millen Tour. And towards the end of May, 26th, is the Lauf gegen Rechts, the run against the far right. We talked about that last year, so you can go back if you are interested in that. And yeah, that's it from me.
Good stuff. Nice chatting to you.
Very good, Luke. See ya. Bye.
Bye-bye.